WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
It was only 3 years ago that Congress enacted a law to create a monument to Thomas Paine. A lot of people have long thought that Paine was too dangerous a figure to memorialize. Critic Maureen Corrigan says that a new biography of Paine reminds us that both Paine and the revolution he helped incite were radical.
Oh, what would Thomas Paine have thought about the democracy he helped bring into being if he could have watched the president's State of the Union address last night? There was Bill Clinton trying to tone his sagging image. Behind him, a gloating Newt Gingrich. And somewhere in the august Capitol crowd, a congressman named Sonny Bono. These are indeed the times that try men's and women's souls. Throughout his career as a journalist and statesman, Thomas Paine also had his share of image problems. His enemies claimed that Paine emitted a brimstone odor. They also accused him of being a drunk, a traitor, and an atheist. And when it came to publishing contracts, Paine could have used Newt's agent. Paine never made a penny off Common Sense, the pamphlet he published in January 1776. He thought it was his patriotic duty to make it available to everyone. 5 months later, as a direct result of Common Sense, the Continental Congress issued the Declaration of Independence. Paine later went to France to foster the revolution there, until he almost became a victim of the terror. But he continued to stick his neck out for the poor and powerless. In this country, he opposed slavery and even advocated a colonial form of welfare and social security. As Jack Fruchtman Jr. tells us in his stirring new biography of Paine, this famous firebrand was slow to ignite. Paine was born in England into a lower middle class family, and for the first 37 years of his life, he failed at being a corset maker, a teacher, and a tax collector. When Paine emigrated to America, nothing in his past indicated he would soon become a world-shaking journalist. In fact, one of the many endearing things Fruchtman tells us about Paine was that he always found writing difficult. But through the influence of Benjamin Franklin, Paine got work as a magazine editor and essayist. After the enormous success of Common Sense, Paine fueled the war effort with his essay series, The American Crisis. On Christmas Eve, 1776, George Washington read Crisis One to his dispirited troops. You heard the first line a minute ago, but it bears repeating. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. The next morning, as we know, Washington and his troops crossed the Delaware, pummeled the Hessians, and turned the tide of the war. I confess I found the first half of this biography more compelling than the second, which discusses Paine's work in France. But that's probably more my fault than Fruchtman's. I can never keep those bloody French revolutionary factions straight. Throughout his book, Fruchtman manages to illuminate Paine's writing, his political and spiritual beliefs, and the contemporary historical context without sacrificing the narrative thread of a tumultuous life story. If, like Washington's soldiers, you need to hear some inspiring words in the dead of this winter, Thomas Paine, Apostle of Freedom, contains plenty.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Thomas Paine, Apostle of Freedom, by Jack Fruchtman, Jr.